The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
Church and those who will be watching or listening to this message long after this message has been preached, we declare his blessings over you in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we also pray that whatever is in the mind of God will also be found in your mind for correct expression as you live on earth. The theme for this period is summoned to pray. We have done 16 days, we have 24 more days to go. God will give us strength to finish well. I know some of us have not started. I ask you to start. I plead with you to start. And some of us began, and halfway through, something happened. You stumbled, and then it was wobbling. I ask you to don't be discouraged. Just continue. Some of us, you plan to fast, and then your friend just brought beautiful this kind of food and suya and very fresh hot bread. In fact, there is a bakery beside your house. Each time you plan to fast, you are distracted by the hotness of the bread. You say, I will fast tomorrow, and then I will fast tomorrow, and then I will fast tomorrow, and then you even go to worry to go and buy the bread, and then you fast next tomorrow, and then the fast. I'm talking to myself alone. It happened to me. Pastor Ben was eating, so they called him to quickly come and finished the school. I dashed into his office, come and see correct. I saw chicken, but he said, I like chicken. The thing was saying, Pastor K, come and take me. I said, oh, fasting. I said, I bind you in Jesus' name. As I came out, I was the kind, you know, there's a bakery close to church. Oh my God. I say, let me just take a little walk after I have run away from that devil. And enter the street, the entire place. Oh my God. I didn't know whether to bind myself now or to bind the air. It's all right. Some of us are still yet to start. Just begin somewhere. Even if it's 21 days, you can do. Just do. We're going to 2020. They have been talking about this 2020. Let us even know what is going to happen in that 2020. So just start preparing for it, all right? We are summoned to pray. We're getting towards Cure for Desert Places. Cure for Desert Places is that period where all of us are summoned to the mountain, just like Jesus took three of his disciples to on top of Mount where there was transfiguration and there was appearance. What the Lord has in mind for us as a body, as a family, is what we want to just go together to go and hear. There is power in corporate prayers. Cure for Desert Places is in October. I just want to use the opportunity to tell all of us to just start preparing for Cure, all right? That's what we're doing now. We're preparing so that we can hear him clearly when he speaks to us. A pastor is not around at the moment. He went for a conference, but he extends his greeting, but he will be back before the fasting is over. We finished School of Reformation and Transformation on the sixth day of the week, and it was awesome. It was mind-blowing. And so we're on the fast. And through this week of fast, prayers are going on 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. and then 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. in case you want to leverage on all of that. And I know that the areas, there are prayers going on at all the areas. These are all fire points, hot spots for the fasting in case you can't pray alone by yourself. Even if it is 30 minutes, 15 minutes, I believe in the power of corporate prayers. In fact, there are some places where I'm going to minister. I will tell all the people who share WhatsApp with us in groups where we mentor each other. I say, please lift me in prayer. I'm going to the den of lions. So there is power in prayer. I believe in your prayers. And this morning, I'm asking you to pray for me. All right? So summoned to pray. A lot of times, you notice that those of us who are Christians, when it is time to pray, we unconsciously see it as a last resort, something to do when everything has failed. When we have tried all and then we don't know what to do again, we come out with prayer. It's not supposed to be like that, ladies and gentlemen. Prayer actually is supposed to be your first line of offense as we are bringing down the kingdom of God. And then your first line of attack. We don't have any defense anywhere. What I mean is, we're not playing defense. We're attacking. We're attacking all the while. Your first line all the time, as we are pushing the kingdom of God forward, pushing to see God's character represented in our industries and our spheres of influence, prayer is our first line of defense. At the same time, prayer is our first line of attack. Everywhere we're praying. Don't make it something you do when there is nothing else to do. So we're going to be looking at the aspect of prayer that has to do with prayer and fasting. And for a topic today, I'm talking about disconnect to connect, or connect, disconnect to connect. Matthew 17, verse 16, I brought him to your disciples and they could not cure him. What the Lord has ordained you to do, you won't fail in it. You won't fail in your own assignment. Amen. Your expression of God on earth, you won't fail in it. Amen. And Jesus answered and said, you unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. Jesus has very low tolerance for these two things, unbelieving and perversion. In other words, he can put up with so many things, but these... He said, how long am I going to put up with the fact that your belief system is not right? How long am I going to put up with the fact that you are perverted? And when you see this kind of thing, what comes to your mind is that Jesus is actually talking about their sexual appetite. No, that's not what he's talking about. Unbelieving is saying you disconnected from God. Perversion means you disconnected to the world. When you disconnect from God, you lose intimacy. That's your source of life. When you connect to the world, what happens is that four kinds of appetites is activated instantly. There are four major kinds of appetite. I hope I'll be able to remember all of them. You have the spiritual appetite, you have the appetite for sex, you have the appetite for hunger, and you have the appetite for greed or covetousness. If you notice, what the devil tried to do with Jesus, okay, I'll repeat it again. Spiritual appetite. Appetite for sex, or sex appetite, greed or covetousness, and then appetite for hunger. Just by way of example, that's not what I'm talking about. If you notice, the devil wanted Jesus to use his spiritual appetite to worship him. Every human being has a need to be spiritual in some way or the other, either spiritual negatively or spiritual positively. There is something religious about everybody, either positive or negative. Even those of them who say they don't serve anything, when the push comes to shove, they look for something to hold on to. All right? So you have those four appetites, but the devil tried to make Jesus use the appetite for worship, the spiritual appetite, to use to serve him. That's not where we're going to. We're looking at disconnecting from the world and connecting to God. So let's continue. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. The disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" Whenever you meet an obstacle, don't be discouraged. Whenever you tried, maybe you have kept your prayer life, and then for 2 days you have not been able to pray. Don't be discouraged. Consistency doesn't come overnight. It comes after a time. You must have done it again and again and again and again. So these people tried and they failed. Always remember how to go back to your source. And they asked him, "Why couldn't we drive him away?" They didn't start blaming themselves. They wanted to find an answer to a question. Whenever you have a question and you don't have an answer, look at who to go to, Jesus. And let's see what Jesus answered them. This kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Well, there are two schools of thought here. Some people said that Jesus is talking about this kind of unbelief and perversion. Another school of thought said Jesus is talking about this kind of demon. Whatever it is, whether it is this kind of demon or this kind of perversion, that is unbelief, disconnecting from God and connecting to the world. Any of them, this kind cannot go except you pray and you fast. This kind cannot go except you pray and you fast. And when you talk about prayer and fasting, you're talking about something that is not convenient at all. One of the greatest kings that ever lived, he said, "I will not offer unto him what costs me nothing. If it's not going to cost me something, I won't give it to him. I'm going to make sure that what I bring to him will cost me. So it might cost me my convenience. It might cost me my comfort. But it will cost me something." So some of us in front, your own fasting may be that moving up and down, you will sit in one place. I know someone in front of me, if you want to make him miserable, tell him to stay in one place. So if you want to fast, and you won't fast, I'm going to inconvenience myself. It will cost me something. It will cost me my nomadic life. I'm talking to myself. So let me look this way while I'm saying it. That's fasting. You know, some of us, you love food very well. When they take food from you, you are not using mouth to eat it, but you're using nose and ear and stomach. That it not passing through your mouth is costing you something. So this kind of perversion, this kind of unbelief will not go except you inconvenience yourself. So that's what we're doing in Fem Foundation this period. We're inconveniencing ourselves for about 40 days. Everybody shout, "I'm ready." Okay, what I want to do is to give you about three things that you should do. And if we have time, we read two scriptures. Number one, focus much more on knowing and declaring who you are than on knowing and declaring what you will do. Focus more on knowing and declaring who you are than on knowing and declaring what you do. Many of us are very high in declaring, boasting of what they can do. If it is 21 days you can do, do. If it is 3 days you can do, do. I want to take scriptures to explain all of this, but I just want you to put it down. Number two, focus more on your personal growth and transformation than on bringing change to those you are called to influence. Focus more on your personal growth and transformation than on bringing change to those you are called to influence. Number three, the anointing breaks every yoke and makes you thrive greatly, but it is hearing and believing truth that makes us free. The anointing, all of us love the anointing. We love to see the power of God flow. It was exciting for me that day in Epoma when that girl's ear popped open. It was exciting. It was wow. And I was saying, is there any other person who has problem in the ear so I can touch it for it to open? It didn't take time at all. It was so refreshing. All right? It is good to see the power of God break the yoke and destroy burdens and remove all of that. But it's better, it's much, much, much important to hear and believe the truth. So we're going to pick scriptures on this. You can get the slide from our site after this time out. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, So he's talking to his own people. These people have been spending time with him. So he's talking to Fembuders, you have been spending time with us, so I'm talking to you. So he says, if you continue in my word, I want you to notice that I marked some words. If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. The word continue is a very serious word. It's the word meno. Meno means if you hold onto my word. The word, actually, when he said my word, he's not just talking about word. He's talking about the way he thinks. So if you hold on to the way I think, let's assume you hold on to what I think about health. And when sickness comes to push you this way, still hold on. The word continue is the word to live in. The word continue is the word to stay. In other words, you grab healing. You grab what God is saying about healing, how he thinks about healing. You grab it, and the distraction comes this way. You still grab it, and it comes this way. You still grab it. Or you hold on to what God has to say about how he thinks about thrive. No matter the distraction, no matter the voices, in relation to time, in relation to place, in relation to condition, sometimes the condition will make you drop it. Sometimes, in reference to time is passing, and the thing, your wife has not yet given birth. Hold on to the word that says, none shall be barren in the land. And the child is in the hospital, and the doctors are giving you a report that is threatening. Just hold on to the word that says, oh my God, I won't lose my young. Just hold on to the word. Hold on to the word. Time is going and the husband is not coming. Just hold on to the word that says, none shall lack a mate. Are we still here? You hold on. There is, listen, for every condition, everything you're going through, there is something to hold on to. You have been prayed for and the healing has come. It looks as if the devil is coming back to his sickness. Just hold on to the point that by his stripes I am healed. Oh my God, am I talking to someone? We have been in upgrade and you have been looking at your life. You can't find upgrade. Still hold on. The Bible says, having done all things to stand, just stand there until what you're standing there shows forth. God cannot lie. His words will surely come to pass. I said to myself every day, if he didn't lie to Jesus, he won't lie to me. Because Jesus is the one that has been in the most difficult position. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Jesus found himself dead. And he told him that after 3 days, I'm coming for you. Jesus believed him and then actually passed out. And they actually buried him. After 3 days, did Jesus come back to life? If he didn't lie to Jesus, after 3 days, he broke the grave and Jesus came out and Lazarus came out. Why will he lie to you? If he said to them that I'm going to take you out of Egypt and bring you into the promised land, I believe that Nigeria, just one day, this country is going to come out of Egypt, is going to come out of slavery, is going to come out of the hands of people who don't love us. This country, one day, is going to come out from the hands of selfish politicians. Oh, they're not even politicians, politicasters. It's going to come out of those hands. I believe that husband that is not behaving well is coming back. Just hold on. I love Nelson Mandela. 27 years in Rhode Island, he was beaten. 27 years. In fact, he actually went through 3 prisons. He held on. They beat him. He was breaking rocks. He lost all his privileges. After 27 years, he walked out and he became a world changer. Just hold on. Listen, nobody told me that the road would be easy, but I don't believe he brought you this far to leave you. Ajoyo and Tolu were holding on. The first year, the second year, the third year. Actually, she took in, and after some time, she lost the baby. They still held on. Her, if a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my appointed time, shall I wait till my change comes? They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. I and the people the Lord has given to me, we are made for signs and wonders. If you just hold on just a little bit, just a little bit, just a little bit, at the end of the storm, there will be light. Nigeria will rise again. Tap three people, stand up and tap them. Just tell them, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. You know what he told you to hold on to? Hold on to how God thinks. Hold on to how he thinks about your life. Hold on. That's why those scriptures, those sentences I gave, he said, focus more on knowing and declaring who you are than knowing and declaring what to do. Spend time developing who you are. Spend time on your personal growth and transformation. Then your word will see it. That's why. Spend time on hearing how God thinks about you. Spend time hearing, what does he think about me? Listen, your behavior may not line up with what God says about you. That's why sometimes when you misbehave, I'll be laughing. Because I know that this is not truly who you are. This is what circumstances have turned you to be. Maybe people have done things to you. Now you don't really trust anybody anymore. But just hold on. He said, there you are truly. The word disciples is the word my learner. Actually, in the original word, my machete, it just simply means you are adherents of me, which means you also now use my words to plan your conduct. When you get to hold on, it will translate into your life. I love the last part. It said, then you will know the truth. The word know is the word ginesco. Ginesco is sexual. The Jewish medium for ginesco is sexual. He said, you have sex with the truth. It actually means, ginesco means to know something absolutely and to allow the thing to also know you absolutely. Ginesco is actually a sexual word. It's in Jewish tradition, it means that two people are having sex. He said, if you hold on to trife, what I think about trife, your mind and my mind will have sex. He said, you will come to a point where you know me absolutely. I will know you absolutely. That's what ginesco means. He said, then you will know the truth where any matter is concerned. So even if people are lying to you, when you're looking at them, you actually know the truth. Because you know, you are now thinking with the mind of God. Your mind and the mind of God have come together. Now, the Bible spoke about 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. He started talking about, let's come here. He said, you will know, tell your neighbor, I will know God like he knows me. So which means God wants you to know him absolutely. God wants you to know him absolutely. And how does he come? Just stay. Lord, I don't understand what happens, what is happening, but I believe you. Lord, people may laugh at me that the Christianity, if I'm really a Christian, my son wouldn't have died. But it's okay. I just hold on to you. In fact, they were laughing at Job. As you take, they call God. So God knows if he save you. Hold on. I don't know whom I've come to talk to this morning. Early this morning, the Lord said to me, you're going to address people who are going through fear and tell them to hold on. The word, my word, logos, means my intelligence. Hold on to my intelligence. Hold on to how I think about it. Jewish idiom for sexual intercourse is the word no. Simple. Christianity is that simple. Start with the little things. And how do you put it into your mind? Very simple, meditation. Ask the Lord, show me creative strategies on how to bring solutions to my world. Now, in this period of fast, Fasting does not mean that you're not doing the things you're doing. Of course, if you're a factory worker, you have to work the machines and make sure the machines are working and all of that. If you're a lawyer, you have cases, you must still go and defend those cases. And if you're an entrepreneur and you have risks to take and then there are contacts, you still have to do those things. You're not going to ask the Holy Spirit to give you creative strategies on how to keep your mind, your heart strongly connected to Him while you are doing all of this. It's the Holy Spirit that will help you to do that. Now let's look at the second scripture. Look at what I wanted to show you. 1 John 3:9, actually. No one begotten of God deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practices sin. For God's nature abides in him. What is that God's nature? His principle, his divine sperm. I told you that knowing God is a Jewish, no, ginosko, is a Jewish word that says sexual intercourse. And I wanted to show you of God's sperm. His divine sperm remains permanently within you. So the more you hold on to the word of God, the more the spermatozoa of God enters your mind, changes your mind, and you begin to think with God's Sophia, which is wisdom. You begin to think with God's intelligence. Logos means intelligence. Second scripture. These things are done in prayer. If I have time, I will show you how it's done in prayer. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Before we read the scripture, it was David that said, your word I have hidden in my heart. How do you hide the word of God in your mouth? It's called meditation. You take a verse, you read it slowly, you read it repeatedly, you keep reading it. At a time, you emphasize on one word. I can do all things through him that strengthens me. I can do all things through him that strengthens me. I can do. And then you try to rewrite it in your own language. You take it out of how it is written, rewrite in your own language. Remove I and now put Osayaba can do all things through Christ that strengthens Osayaba. And now another way is you do is you picture it. If it is a story, if it's a Bible story you're reading, what you do is, imagine that you are reading the story of the Samaritan woman. You use your mind to play a movie. You are the director. You are the cameraman. You sit down. You find yourself sitting down at the well. You remove the camera. Edit it. You are playing this video with your mind. You sit down. You now imagine that Jesus is the one now talking to you. By the time you take it out of that context, your mind is going through a process you don't understand. And you know something about meditation? It is the easiest way to look like Jesus. The more you meditate, the more you think faster. The more you meditate, the more when someone comes, he said, then you will know the truth. He said, any matter under consideration, you will know the truth about it. So you have to operate by God of chance. You won't have to trade with the enemy. You know what to do. It comes by meditation. Now, prayer is easy. Prayer is P-A-P-R-A-Y. P is praise and worship. You praise God for who he is. Praise and thanksgiving. You praise God for who he is. And then you thank him for what he has done. You need to personalize it. You count your fingers. 20 things the Lord has done for you. After you have praised him, when I do it, I'll remember his 8 names. He has 8 covenant names. I praise you because you are Jehovah Nissi. Then I will explain what it means. Listen, I'll use Google. In my own prayer, I use Google. I praise you, Jehovah Rapha. You are the one that heals my emotions. You are the one that heals my relationships. You are the one that heals my family. You are the one that heals my body. Oh, Jehovah Sikenu, you are my righteousness. If I can't remember it, I go to Google. What does Sikenu mean? You are my righteousness. You are the one that my sins are no longer with me because Jesus gave me his nature. This is praise. And then thanksgiving is your counting. Lord, you brought me here this morning. You stopped the rain from falling. Lord, I thank you that when I woke up this morning, my husband didn't give me a dirty slap. Thank you, Lord. Lord, when I went to Uyi Grant, I thank you that as I was moving in, someone removed his car so that I found. You see, you want to praise God for big, big things. Start from the small things. Then you can get to the big things. Some of the things you take for granted, God did those things. I thank you because while I was sleeping at night, even when people planned to get into my house, you preserved me. Lord, I know how many people, how many witches are looking for my head to cut, but you saved me. It's not because of my righteousness. It's because of you. Praise and thanksgiving. A R is repent. Lord, I repent. Lord, I repent of the things I intended to do that I didn't do. Where my motives were wrong, I repent of it. Lord, my actions that were not right, I repent of it. The ones my mother and my father have done on my behalf, I repent of it. Finish. This one, there is a full message on it. If you go there, ask them how to have quiet time. And then you go to A. A is ask. You ask for yourself. You ask for others. And then you go to Y. Y is you yield yourself back to God. Prayer finished. But what in the message, I had to teach them how to start from meditation because it is your meditation that becomes your prayers. Then you pray for yourself. You pray for others. Now, let's go to the second part. All my life you have been faithful. When I think of that song, it looks as if the person sat down and wrote it for me. Because I came to this town with nothing. No brother, no mother, no sister, no friend, nothing. Sister Frida, who came, I don't know her. She just came to work. And then said, who is Katarina? That she heard the statue. And I followed a total stranger into this town to come and write exams. Now I have mother, I have father, I have brothers, I have sisters, I have families, I have friends. And I have never worked in any oil company, never worked in a bank. Gese na chineke adegema. Chukwu hidema, hidema, hidema. Chimarobimo narekele. If there is anybody who will tango, so the person that wrote that song, any day when I see him, I go give her a tapuma. The person gets sense well. Wow. Now we're going to the second scripture. I'm showing you how to disconnect from the world and connect to God. How do we go about this second scripture? Everybody want to go? Psalm 27 verse 1. One, two, go again. Please, can they take off all the light in the room? All the light. All the lights in the room. Including the studio lights. The projector lights. Take out all the light. The projector lights. Have you taken out the projector lights? Everybody, open your Bible and read. Not your phone, your Bible. I want you to read your Bible. I want you to try to sign a check. Try to sign a check. Just imagine that your phone doesn't have, you can put on the lights now. Just imagine that your phone doesn't have light and you want to make a very important call. That's the only way I can describe this to you. The Lord is my light. With God, I see. Put off the light again. Bring out your phones and put on the lights of your phone. That's the only way I can describe it to you. There's no other way. Put on the lights of your phone. Hey, any yagi Jesus me imamufwa. Hey, any yagi Jesus imamufwa. Hey, any yagi Jesus me imamufwa. Imwa mufwa. The only way I can describe the Lord is my light is. Here you can see this light. This is God. This is you. So if you switch off the light, you are no more. The Lord is your light. So stop playing with your connection with God. Put on the lights again. The Lord is my light. The Lord is the light of my prosperity. The Lord is the light of my life. The Lord is the light of my lamp. Without him, I'm useless. Without him, I will sink. Every atom, liver, every atom of my being is crying out for more of him. Friends, I tell you the truth. I was born in a family with a lot of wealth. A lot of wealth. My two brothers are behind. Everybody in our village, when they come to Abba, it's our house they go to. I saw Don Vita leave the table. I saw bread leave the table. I saw everything disappear. I saw myself being carried to school by a driver to a point where I have to trek to school. And I have to explain to the other people who all of us used to do rich men's children, what happened to your car? I didn't have that. I didn't have answers to that. The Lord is my light. Listen, the only reason why you are listening to me today is not because of my intelligence. The Lord is my light. I want you today to disconnect from the things that bring darkness into your life. And it's also God that will help you to do it. He didn't just say the Lord is my light. It is a king that was talking. He said he is also my salvation. You know how God explained salvation to me? He said, just imagine that your house, the fence around your house. The word salvation is the word Yeshua or the word Yeshua. The Lord is my deliverance. The Lord is my safety. The Lord is my welfare. So when I stand, it is not the police in front of me or behind me or around me that is my salvation, that is safety, that is protecting me. Nigeria have not gone broken into different places and destroyed because the fence around us is the Lord. Fence builders, the fence around your house is not the thing protecting you. I know that there is wire, there is electric and something, there are technologies. It's not those things. God is the wall around you. He said, the Bible said, the Lord will form a wall of fire around you and the glory in the midst of you. This is who he is to me. He now said, he is the defense of my life. Countries have ministry of defense. We have a civil defense. God says, I am your protection. You didn't beg me to. You can't pay me. You can't employ me. You can't take me and put me at your gate. You are too small for that. I decided by myself to do it for you. When they were kidnapping others, they didn't kidnap you. It's not because of anything. It is God. Even when they kidnapped you, it is God that saved you and protected you and preserved you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. The part of this scripture that I love is, when evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh. Listen, don't take this for granted. The enemy of our lives is always looking for a way to deny you what is legally yours. So they sit down and plan how to destroy this nation and put it backwards so that many of us will become refugees in another country, which is not God's destiny for us. So when evildoers came upon me, so they finished the plan, they came upon me to eat up my flesh in the name of sickness and disease. Today I speak over you. Cancer will not survive anywhere around you. I speak over you. The 12 systems of your body, none of them will fail in the hands of sickness or disease. None of them will fail in the hands of germ. None of them will fail in the hands of virus. Every virus that touches your body dies instantly. I speak to the 12 systems of your body. None of them will collapse in the name of Jesus. If it is money that can save someone, our first lady wouldn't have died. If it is money that would have saved someone, are you trying to say that Nigeria does not have enough money to protect Yaradua from death? Are you trying to say that our sister Stella, God, oh, come on. Now look at, he said, my adversaries and my enemies, he explains to you who the evildoers are. My adversaries are enemies. They stumbled and they fell. I need to explain that. The word adversary is the word antidikos. Antidikos means the one that brings legal suit against you. That's the same word you have in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 that says, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is moving around seeking for whom he may devour. All the devil does is he moves around. He starts looking for if there is any evidence, anything he can find on you, so that he can present it at the court of heaven to use it against you. That's the devil's job. That's why in Luke chapter 18, that woman said, please come and avenge me of my adversary. In other words, the one that has brought a lawsuit against me to deny me of that which is legally mine. Come and protect me. That's what the woman said. Wow. Pastor Ben did an extensive training, teaching on the courts of heaven. You need to get it. I beg you. I beg you, you need to get it. And then the prayers that goes with it, the prayers that go with it. Just by way of a little expansion, God said of Job that Job is a righteous man, that there was not, everything about him was complete. The devil said, eh. The devil started looking at him. Remember, he's an adversary. He's walking around seeking for him, he may devour. All he needs is a legal point, a legal landing. He found something in Job. God said Job was okay. Devil said, eh, are you sure? Is he serving you for nothing? Okay. Check his heart. The reason why he's serving you is because you have given him a lot of money. Remove that money, he will curse you. He found another thing. He said, look at him. He's giving you offering. The reason why he's giving you offering is not because he loves you. He's giving you offering so that you can turn your eyes away when his children sin against you. And you are the one that disciplined Eli. You killed Eli that he couldn't discipline his children. And you killed his children. Why shouldn't Job and his own children also die? He said, that's not enough. He doesn't trust you. Look at his mind. There is fear. The devil found something in Job and he brought it against him at the court. He presented it as evidence. That's who an adversary is. An adversary is someone who finds a reason to bring something against you. So if he doesn't see it in you, in the area of motive, intentions, and motivations, he will now check actions. If he doesn't see it in action, he will go to iniquity, something that runs in your bloodline. He will check your bloodline from Adam down to your father and see whether there's anybody who had committed murder, who had committed murder by any means, because anybody that kills, he blesses life for life. He will check, is there anybody at all? If he finds a reason, he comes for it. And if you do not know how to connect to God so that you can disconnect from the world, he can land. I prophesy over you. May these 40 days, may the Lord bail us out. Amen. So that's what David was saying. He says, when evildoers, in other words, these people have a legal reason to catch me and finish me. Because some of the things they're accusing me of, I actually did it. He said, but they stumbled and fell. Why? Because the Lord is my light. So the Lord put a light around me. And then that light became my defense. I want to explain something about God. The Bible said God is light. In him there is no darkness. And the Bible said God dwells in unsearchable light. Oh God. Let's go. Time. The next verse, he said, though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. Let's break it down. Play for me. We trust in our God, will not be shaken. Let's break it. Let's break the scripture. Why is this guy talking like this? A host comes against you, you're not afraid. And a war, if war rise against you, will you be confident? In other words, I will still hold on to the fact that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Let me explain something. The Bible says God is light and he dwells in an unsearchable light. So what this guy is saying is, where I am with God, because I am seated with Christ in heavenly place, listen carefully. Remember, I have explained the throne of God for you here before. Look at how God is. There is a throne in the middle. 24 elders around the throne, 24 of them. And then there is light, there is rainbow. Now, those of you who do decoration, those of you event planners, you work with a lot of light. Just imagine rainbow, then you have bright light, lightning all over it. Now, God himself is light. Then there are four creatures around God. A lion, an eagle, a man, and a calf. That's not all. Then you have thousands and thousands of angels. That's Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 22. He said, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, where there are thousands and thousands. Now the Bible says you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. So this means that place where God is sitting, and there are four creatures, there are seven candlesticks, there are 24 elders, and there is unapproachable light. Jesus is seated. The Holy Spirit is seated. You are seated by the side of Jesus. That's why this boy, this guy, the king said, if a host come against me, I will be confident. You know why? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So God has a secret place. Why does he call it the secret place of the Most High? He calls it the secret place of the Most High because God lives in so much light. Ija, you are a scientist. When you have so much light and light hits on an optical object, there will be a shadow. God lives in so much. He is light. He is so much light. He said he that dwells in his secret place. God is an invisible God. At the same time, he is a high God. At the same time, he's a wise God. If there is so much light around God, how do I come into his secret place? If you hold on to my word, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. Then you will know the truth. Now the Bible said there is a place where they know God. So Jesus comes, say, now you're holding on my word, Peter, let's go. I take you to a secret place. I take you to where the Father is. Let's go. I'm taking you to a secret place. I'm taking you to this. Why is it called secret place? The Bible said, no eagle's eye have seen it. That's in the book of Job. The Bible said, there is nobody knows the place. But he said, wisdom knows the place, and wisdom is Jesus. Jesus will take you. You know, I think it was Moses that tried to see God. He said, you can't see me. If you see me, you'll die. But I will hide you somewhere in my secret place. When I pass, you will see my shadow. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. You can't see me, but Jesus can take you to the place. He will bring you to the secret place of the Most High. When you try to look at him, there is so much light. That's why the Bible says, Jesus is the light of the world. You are the light of the world. The light upon him comes upon you. When the enemy is looking at you, he's seeing light. And that light, no darkness can overcome it. No darkness can comprehend it. Listen to me. You need to change your mind to the fact that you are not a grandchild of God. You are not a slave of God. Am I talking to someone? I know that sometimes your behavior, you know, they behave well. But that is not the point. The point be say, you are not his slave. You are not his domestic staff. You are not his driver. You are not his gate man. You are a son. And the son of a king will always sit with the king. He that dwells in the secret place. That's why David can confidently talk. He said, he's my father. I sit with him. So when you come to bite me, when you come around, there is light around me. And you can approach the light. I can approach. I stay in the light. When you look at me, you can't see me. You only see light. The people in occult understand what I'm talking about. Because sometimes they have gone to gauge you in the realm of the spirit. When they looked, they saw light. When they saw light, they say you're an abomination. In fact, someone took my name to a native doctor. He said, my confidence is, I don't like the girl. It was just too confident. The person presented my name for the witch to deal with me. As my name was mentioned, the native doctor got angry. He said, why you bring this abomination come this place? And even her own consultation, what she came to consult, was rejected and they kicked her out of the place. Today, I prophesy over you. May you become an abomination to evil. No wonder David said, in this I will be confident. I'm confident your faithfulness will see me through. I've come to speak to everybody who is going through something. Wait a while. We close. Now David is saying, David is now telling you the secret. Everybody that is wealthy in this church, all the wealthy people in this church, look at what David said. And everybody, of course, you know everybody is wealthy because he's son of the king. He said, one thing have I asked from the Lord, that will I seek. The seek actually means to search out by prayer and by worship. So when you go before the Lord, you are going for a search. You are going for a research. That's what he's saying. I'm searching, I'm seeking. What is he searching? That I may dwell. The word dwell in Greek, actually in Hebrew, means to marry. He said that I may. When you bring your bride to the house, the day Clement, you carried your wife to the house, we are very, very happy that God has liberated you from my hand. Of course, he said, you must say. When you carry, of course, you are the bride of Christ. He said that I may dwell. The word dwell is I will marry, I will be a bride, I will live in the house of the Lord. The word to behold is Shazah. The word Shazah means you look like this. You see him and then you prophesy. That's what Shazai means. You look again, you see him, you prophesy. So when I behold his beauty, that is, I behold his pleasantness, I behold these things I'm telling you about God, that God is kind, God is faithful, God is a healer, God is this, God is that. Now, in prayer, you look at him, you see the pleasantness, you turn around to your world, you declare the Lord is great, you turn again, you look at him, you see, you turn around, you declare, the Lord is mighty. He's in Psalm 91. What I'm saying is Psalm 91. They can flash it and then we'll close the meeting. So that's what prayer is. I want to live here. I'm hungry. What am I hungry about? Listen, everything you ask God as prayer is still small compared to what he wants to give you. So I'm going to depend on his kindness and his generosity. How many of you have read the Bible and said, oh God, let's not go there? There's a, some people can ask God for something, it's good. But you can even also now depend and believe in his generosity and his goodness. Remember the Proverbs. Jesus gave an idiom, a proverb, that a man went to call some people to work for him. Some people he called them at the night hour. Some other people he called them at the 12th hour. And he paid everybody the same thing. The first set of people negotiated their pay. The second and the third and the fourth. They depended on his generosity and his goodness. I trust your heart that you know what is good for me. Anything you give me, I will. So I'm going to ask for what is in your heart. I'm asking for your dream. So when you pray, you're going before him. You are searching for his heart for you. God, that thing in your heart for me, even if people don't like it, as long as it is in your heart, he's okay for me. Amaram no nyenchem nonso. Amaram no rapu ikwam. Amaram o goge bidolo. Uwagama no nyem sadigim fe. Give me some 91. I said, remember, we are closing. He said, to behold the beauty. Prayer is not a religious exercise. I want you to take prayer away from religious exercise. It is fanatism. People who don't understand Christianity. Prayer is, you look at him, you behold him, and then you turn around. You prophesy to your world what you have seen. Lucifer. I read it last Sunday. There were 10 different stones on his body, representing the number of government in that culture. And there were pipes and timbrel on his body. And he was the one that's walking around the fiery stones. When he moves around, Michael means there is no one like God. Three angels before God: Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. Lucifer, the morning star. Michael, no one like God. So whenever the elders look at him like this, they bow. They lift up their heads again. What they saw, his kindness, and they saw that his kindness was too much. They were overwhelmed. They bow. By the time they lift up their heads again, they see his goodness. His goodness overwhelms them. His goodness is chasing them. They bow again. That is to thank him for his goodness. They lift their heads again. They see his delightfulness. Oh, this is too much. They want to bow to praise his delightfulness. They lift, so each time they lift up, they see another side of God. No wonder David said, from generation to generation, thou art God. Because David was trying to figure out God's birthday. He was trying to find the best way to explain God. He tried and tried and tried and tried. He said, I give up. So you, he that dwells in that secret place, nobody knows the place. You can go and find out. Say, nobody. Shall I abide on it? So there is so much shadow. So God is light.
He lives in light. So when the light comes upon him, when light hits on an object, there's shadow. He is light. He lives in light. When the light he lives on comes on him, you see the shadow. It is that shadow that protects you. Are we together? Do not fear, I am with you. God lives in light. He is light. When the light on him hits on him, there is a shadow. It is that shadow you come under. That's why you sing Otutu. I want to close. Friends, to behold his beauty. Lord, I just bless you. As you're doing that, yeah, go see. He will show you just a little bit of himself. Look at verse 2. Give me verse 2. Then I will say of the Lord, where did you get what you said? From the secret place. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I trust. You know why this guy is talking like this? I have seen him, and I have seen where he has kept me. I have seen that the fence around me is not the fence in front of my house. By my own revelation, God is the Otutu Gbewe. That everybody rest on your feet. Everybody just, let's do that thing. Just everybody just bless him. 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 Let's do P-R-A-Y. Praise and thank him. Just praise and thank him. Anything. Use your experience. Use your experience. Use your if you don't understand, it's okay. If you want, anyhow you are free. Anyhow you are free. From your experience, if God has ever healed you, call him a healer. If God has ever delivered you, call him a deliverer. If your children have ever been delivered from sickness, call God from your experience. From your experience. Or say, but you know what God did in your family. Now use it to praise him. Use him to praise him. You know how he removed that case out of the court. Use it to praise him. Hey, use it to praise him. Chioma in church, when you were kidnapped, how come you didn't die there? Use it. Use your experience to praise him. Now find out whether there's anything to thank him for. Let's begin to thank him. Begin to thank him. Begin to thank him. Let's do something. Just begin to bless him. We're ending this service. Just begin to just, I would say, may you wash God's head. If there's anything word like that, begin to wash his head. Just begin to declare. Begin to declare. Begin to declare. You are my this. You are my that. You are my that. You are my that. You are the song of my music. You are my inspiration. You are my everything. If not for you, who for know me today? If not be you, now who go call my name? If not be you, now this one waiting for happen for here. You know the song. If not be you, God. If not be you, now who for know me? If not be you, Barabahasa.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.